Calvary? Y'all kind of quiet while the choirs are singing. Y'all all right? Everybody all right? Say amen if you're all right. Amen. What a blessing it is to be back in the Lord's house this evening. We've lost about 100 of them. I don't know where they went, or maybe more than that. But anyway, you're here tonight. We're going to preach to you the message that the Lord had originally put on my heart. I thought it was going to be for this morning, but as it is, it wasn't that way. So God had different plans, and we preached the message this morning. I believe the Lord put up on my heart about the light. And I'm glad that He is the light. Man, if you don't believe we're living in a world of darkness, you need to open up your eyes and look around because truly it's a dark world out there. And I don't see it getting a whole lot better except that the Lord would go ahead and come back and get His bride. He said that that things would get worse. And, you know, that's not very comforting to us that are saved by God's grace, knowing that things would wax worse and worse. And accept that there'll be a falling away. And, you know, that's troubling for us. But, you know, we're still stuck in this old body. And we're still stuck in this old world until He comes to claim us. And that's just the way it's going to be. Mark chapter number 14 tonight. It is a blessing to see you back in the Lord's house. This morning I told you something in error in the prayer circle. If you were back there, I told you that Brother Feldman was going to be facing some emergency surgery. That was turned out not to be the case. He did not have to have any surgery. He did have a little emergency come up, and he was able to be taken care of there at home and got a home health nurse come by and checked him out. Brother Tam, Miss Jan still down there. So you pray for Brother Feldman. We're all going to get to a point in time where we need a little help. So you pray for Brother Feldman and ask God to touch him and just help him and bless him. And then also the families, like Brother Kippy's mama, his brother's probably taking care of mama today or whatever. They take turns. If you've got ailing parents or anything, you know what it is. So lift them people up in your prayers. My kids, they've gone, and I thank you for supporting them and loving on them a little bit this morning. They've gone back over to Hickory, getting ready for their next journey in life. And Mama's got a sentimental heart. I don't care to tell you. She's a sentimentalist. She's an old soul. She's born about 100 years too late. She probably would have done better on Little House on the Prairie because that's about the way her heart is. I'm just being honest with you. But just knowing that they're in the Lord's care is the only thing we've got to cling to. He'll be with them there the same as He is here, but just not being able to run and see them or whatever because you just can't do that. But nevertheless, pray for our young ones. I'm proud of them. I'm excited for them, but we're just a little bit sad. But nevertheless, God knows what He's doing, and I'm no more proud of them than I am of these. I love my kids. I love you. Set the standard for some of the younger kids to come on up and follow. Tonight we're going to be preaching about that box. Brother Chris and Brother Jody and some of these are some of your favorite passages of Scripture. And Brother Chris has always talked about how much of God should we give and accept that we're giving all, or are we really doing what God wants us to? And if I had this bottle of water right here, and this was my alabaster vase or my alabaster box of ointment, and I were to pull the cork out, take off the wax seal, whatever, and I poured this out, then that would be me determining how much of a measure that I was going to give to you or to whoever or to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would that be right if I just took the top off of it? And you know there are some later versions, the NIV and some of the later versions, the RSV, the New English Standard Version, some of those, that said that they took off the wine, that took off the wax ring and poured it out on his head. You know, that's not what the Bible says. Brother Kenny, my Bible said that she broke the box. Now, to remove a wax ring or to break a box is two entirely different things. But if you break the box, Brother Kippy, you're not keeping anything back, because once you break the box, it's then impossible to put any of that spikenard or that preciousness of ointment. It's impossible to put that back in there if I break that. That meant that she was keeping nothing back for the rainy day fund. She's keeping nothing back for a future hard time. She's keeping nothing back for anybody else. She's not even keeping anything back for herself. Brother Chris this past Friday night, at the little game night we had, he did a devotion, and he used the little lad that had just a couple fish and a few little pieces of bread, and that he kept none back, even for himself. He gave it all, and whenever he gave it all, the Lord then blessed and multiplied it. And then, I'm not so sure, Brother Chris, whenever the disciples were told to go take up the fragments, I almost wonder what that little lad was doing whenever he said, take up the fragments, knowing how much that he had given. You know, growing up, you had your Dukes of Hazzard lunchbox or your Andy Griffith lunchbox. Brother Gary, back in your time, it would have been Abraham Lincoln lunchbox or whatever. But whatever it is, your lunchbox held your lunch. And that young lad must have wondered, what did he just say? Did I hear him correctly in that he said to take up the leftovers, pick up the fragments? But Brother Chris, what did they find out after the end of that? How many baskets full did they take up? 12 baskets of leftovers. Now, how did that happen? That's the way God works. So tonight I'll invite you to stand and give reverence and reading God's Word. The Lord is our helper. I'll give you a couple quick announcements. Don't forget that 2 weeks from tonight, we begin our revival with Brother Jason Penley, the pastor of Solid Rock Baptist Church. We'll be at the standard time, 6 o'clock on Sunday night, 7:30 through the week. That's the 18th through the 23rd. 19th through the 23rd will be at 7:30. But on that 18th, 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be with Brother Jason. It too will be at 6 o'clock. We're not changing the service times just because it's that revival week. But anyway, and then this coming Sunday, don't forget, load your picnic baskets and bring it to the homecoming. We'll be having a meal right after the service, and we'll take care of that. And the meats and the drinks are provided, but if you want to bring desserts and side dishes, that'd be great. And then 3 weeks from now, on the fourth, what will be the fourth Sunday of this month, I believe that to be the 25th, we'll be going to Julian Price Park up on the picnic, up on the mountain. So just make those notes. And for those that are interested, next Tuesday, not this Tuesday, but 1 week from Tuesday, I'll be preaching in an awesome August service for Brother Steve Pope down at Calvary in Union Grove. So be praying for me on that account, too. I want to be a blessing to those people the same as he's always been a great blessing to us. So anyway, y'all still good? Y'all seem kind of quiet. Somebody got a word? What? I heard you. What'd you say, Sterling? Listening to me. Y'all listen to me. Sterling said so. Listen, folks, our style of worship, our choices of music, I mean, it's no secret. Brother Scott has kept this thing very conservative, and I applaud you for that. We don't need modernism in music. We don't need contemporary in music. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. It needs to say, look at him, not look at us. It needs to point people to Christ. It needs to be the platform in which we stand on. So our manners of worship, our choices of music, our position on the King James Bible, our methods of teaching in the Sunday school, the manner of preaching. I'm talking about, we don't have orators up here that get up here and speak swelling words of enticing man's words. And we don't do that. We have preachers that preach the word. And all of this stuff that we do, it's going to be critiqued. And it will not be embraced by all. It just won't, Brother Tim. There's going to be people that said, that's not for me. And whenever they come in one time, we have a lot of first-time visitors. And then you don't see them again. You wonder, well, where'd they go? What happened to them? And you don't see them again. It's because we are not going to be everybody's cup of tea. And we're not. But in this passage of Scripture, you're going to see basically everything that we go through in a normal church service, in a normal environment, in our manners of worship, in the things that we do. And then you're going to see somebody, might even be here this evening, that has indignation in their heart. Say, why in the world are they doing that? Why in the world did they do this? Or why are they going to do that? But there's always those out there. Let's read our Scripture reading. Mark chapter number 14. I'm here in a few pages. Mark chapter number 14. We will read the first 9 verses. But you know, even as I say, there's those that are not going to embrace it, Miss Ginger. I said there's some that's going to critique us, and they're going to have a critical heart toward us. They're going to be cynical about what we're doing. They're going to just be, there's full of criticism. There's going to be some of you that's going to embrace it. And that's what keeps me going. That's what sets my soul on fire, that there's still somebody that's still hungering and longing and yearning for that old time. I'm talking about heaven sent, Holy Ghost filled, inspired from God kind of a service. I like those. Give me those all day long, but I don't like wet wood. I don't want to be around something that's dead. I just don't like death. I don't like dead. I quit giving Miss Cindy flowers. You said you quit giving her flowers. I didn't say I quit giving them to her. They're growing outside now. We got knockout roses that are just going crazy. They got 1,000 blooms on them. I could go pick them and bring them in. But the reason I say I've just about quit giving her flowers is, I guess the last dozen roses that I bought her was for our 30th wedding anniversary. Probably. Man, she just cried. She's a crybaby. Why? I gotta go throw these flowers away. She doesn't like throwing them out. But you can't keep those things. That water in the vase starts smelling like sewer water. And I'm serious. In just a few days, y'all know what I'm talking about. It really does. It starts to have an odor about it. But she knows she can't keep them, so she's got to throw them away. And I said, well, I'm just not going to buy you anymore. I just don't like being around death and dying. All right? Let's read our scripture here. I don't want to be in a dead, dried up service, okay? I want the liveliness. I want the Holy Spirit to fill us up. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment. Now, you could go and look and run those references. Some will say that it was a cruse of oil or a flask of oil. But it was nevertheless made out of some type of a plaster material. It was breakable, okay? It wasn't without the ability to break it. Or the Bible would not have said that she broke the box. But anyway, some will say that it was a cruse of oil, or some will say whatever. We'll just use what the King James Bible says. The woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. And they said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could, and she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Brother Jody, ask God to bless us. Hey, amen. As you're being seated, I sometimes so miss Brother Woody, and I really do. But Brother Woody tonight would say these words, mind the Lord. That's what he was known for. That's what he's always saying. If you call Brother Woody right now and say, Brother Woody, what do you think we ought to do over to church? He said, mind the Lord. That's what he would tell us. So you say, what are you bringing that up for? I'm afraid that sometimes when we choose that part of worship, and even when we come in here, Brother Danny, I'm afraid that sometimes we come in, and if you're not very careful, you'll do it, because I'm guilty myself. We'll look around to see who the mixed multitude is, and then, Brother Chris, if this person's there or that person's there, we may hold back on something that was ever so important to be said, that was an important testimony that might be given. Or you might say, Brother Kippy, that they've heard it before, so therefore I'm not going to stand up and share that today. Much God, there may be somebody here that didn't hear it the last time that you testified of it, but I'm afraid that sometimes we look around and we see who's here, we see who's there, sometimes we see who's watching, and it's maybe not even in here. It could be where you work, it could be where you just go in the social world, but we should do exactly what God hath placed in our heart to do. I mean, that's exactly what we should do. If God put it on her heart to break that box of ointment and to give that ointment unto him and to anoint him and maybe let that come off his face and down on his beard, as it were. The Bible said how good and how pleasant that it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It said it was like the dew that would come off of Aaron's head and run down off his beard. Well, she has anointed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and if that's what God told her to do, then she needed to do just that. And I say break the box. If that's what God told her to do, then it was up to her to do what God told her to do. Forget about that crowd that's sitting over here somewhere wondering what B.J. Ford's going to do this time. Forget about what Brother Chris is going to stand up and say, or Brother Preston or myself. Just break the box and let the pieces of the box go where they are. But what you do with the ointment and what you do with the specialness of that ointment and the preciousness of that ointment, let it bring honor unto a thrice holy God. Let that be befitting him. So as I get into this even now, I want to open up with just a few things about the character of Mary. Mary loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe this woman's devotion was there when Mary and Martha would come together. And Martha, the Bible said, was cumbered about with much serving. Martha was all about making sure the floor looked good. Martha's all about dusting, making sure that everything looks clean. And Mary's just simply sitting there at the very feet of Jesus, just listening to him talk. And that's what the Bible said, that Mary hath chosen what? Mary, in that particular passage of scripture, Brother Jody's mimicking the word, hath chosen the good part. She chose that part that she's right there at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you speak of the character of Mary, much God, we could use a little of that compassion. We could use a little bit of that love. We could use a little bit of that, Brother Chris. Do you know how you do that? Bless God, around our house, and the way it was growing up, BJ, if you wanted a little more of something, what'd you have to do? You had to get right in the middle of it. And bless God, so many times, there's five of us boys, if you didn't get in there sometime, you'd probably get one good helping or whatever it is. You said there's about eight or nine of y'all, whatever it was. Bless God, if you wanted it, you get in there and you get it while the getting's good. You better hear and get it, boys. And bless God, when mom would say, you better get in here and get it, boy, guess what? I'm one of the first ones in there. Why? Because I wanted it. I wanted whatever mama had. And bless God, that's the way that Mary was. Her character was upstanding. Her character was that she loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and she had devotion about him. She wanted to hear what he had to say, Brother Chris. And if he has told them, and he had, or she would not have brought this ointment, if he has shared with them that he's going to go away, he's going to be crucified, that he's going to be buried, and then again rise on the third day, and he must have shared that with her, because he says she hath brought this, what? Aforehand for the burial. She brought this anointing for me, as it were, before the resurrection and after the burial. They come bearing spices, did they not? Did they not bear 12 pounds of this and 10 pounds of that? They brought that stuff. Why? Because they wanted to anoint the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, at this place, Mary has brought this precious ointment. I don't know how much the precious ointment is, but I do know this, it's precious. And that spoke of the character of this lady by the name of Mary. Some of us take a position in the church house where we can take it or leave it. We can come, it's Sunday morning, we can take it or leave it. I don't really have to go, but if you want to go, honey, I'll go with you. Do you really want to go? Well, I really don't care anything about it, but if you want to go, I'll go with you. That does not do anything but speak of the character of the man that it's coming from. If he says, I can take it or leave it, I really don't care, but honey, if you want to go, I'll go with you. You know what that speaks of the character of that man? That man needs a good dose of the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ. He needs a good dose of Jesus is what he needs. Why? Because he's saying, I don't really care. If you want to go, I'll go. That was not so with Mary. Mary spoke from her heart. When she did anything, Brother Chris, she did it because she had a great devotion and love for her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So anyway, concerning the character and concerning the compassion of Mary, she loved Jesus Christ. Ain't no doubt in my mind she loved the Lord. Many of us in here tonight, we can truly say, Brother Chris, that we love the Lord. I see it in your faces. I see it in your lifestyles. I see it in your testimony. I hear it in your singing. Miss Wanda, it's easy to see that some people, they love the Lord. How you see it in them? They're serving others. Even as you've done it unto the least of these, what? You've done it unto me. They're serving others. They're doing the things that a Christian does. And because of that, it shows the character and the uprightness of that person. It shows even a matter of compassion. Whenever you would sacrifice of yourself, sacrifice of your own time or talent or treasure or whatever, and be something to somebody else. If it cost me, it cost me. But the Lord put this on my heart. You said, is that in that passage of scripture? It plays into the next point, the cost. Mary's like, I don't care what it cost. It's precious. I wish somebody could tell me what it was worth. I don't know what it was worth. Somebody in here may have done the references on that and run some historical reference back to find out what this precious ointment, an alabaster box, Brother Steve's raising his hand. A year's income. I don't know if you've got, you're reading the footnote in your Bible. I don't know where your footnote come from, but Brother Steve said the footnote in his Bible said it was probably about a year's income. I don't know how much it was, Chris, Brother Steve, but you know what? Mary said, it doesn't matter if it costs me 10 years income. It doesn't matter for me if I'm not going to get to eat but one meal a day. I've been eating two. But right now, Brother Danny, I know I could sell this for 300 penny worth, and that money could then be given to the poor. He said, but the poor you've always got. But bless God, she did what she could. And I don't care what it was worth, how much the price would have been, how many meals she might be going to miss. I don't believe she missed any meals. I don't believe she missed a thing. I don't believe she had to give up a pound of barley or a pound of sugar cane or some honey or anything else, because I believe what she did when she did that and broke that box, Brother Kenny, the cost was irrelevant. The cost did not matter. And I don't believe she missed anything, because when she did it as unto the Lord. And because of that, I believe God blessed her. Amen. Same with that lad. He gave up his lunch. You know what? The Lord could have took one of them baskets. I know you give up your lunch pail, son. Here, have a basket. And he's like, whoa, what am I going to do with all these fish? What am I going to do with all this bread? I don't know. Go give that to the poor. You've always got them with you. So I'm looking at the cost. In a church this size, there's always some cost. Brother Danny, we just come out of a deacon's meeting. Always costing something. Brother Jody, Jody's grinning. He said, don't go there, preacher. Brother Jody's probably the least about money of anybody I've met in my 51 years of life. Money really means nothing to Brother Jody. You can take it. Look at his daughter back here. See, it really doesn't. He spent $10 on me one time, and that was nine too much, according to him. It does not, but Brother Jody, am I telling the truth? You want to cause a church problem? You want to start some murmuring in the church? You want to start some church gossip? Brother X, you want to start talking about things in the church? All you got to do is start talking about money. Next thing you know, my goodness, I put my offering in there. I put my tithe, and that's what they're going to do with it. And that's the way that it is. Mary said, I don't care what it's worth. It might be precious, and it might be spikenard of a great price. But she said, it's going to the Lord. I'm giving it all to him. She did say, I'm going to give out a little bit. I said, I'm breaking the box. The cost. Brother Chris, what is it? What does it cost? I don't know what it cost Tim Anderson to get here. I don't know how much pain you were in. I missed you for two Sundays, by the way. I know when you're not here. I know that. But what does it cost you to get here? Is it a lot of liniment? Is it a lot of ice packs? Is it a lot of poking and prodding? Is it a lot of pain pills? Is a lot of Motrin and this? I don't know what it cost you, but I'm glad you're here. I don't know what it cost you. I don't know how much pain you're in. I see Carol sitting out here in the side room. Miss Carol, I don't know what it cost you to get here, but I'm glad you're here. Had 153,000 surgeries on your back, but at least you're here sitting on that. I'm glad you're here. I'd rather have you sitting in there on the couch and be here than sitting at home. I don't know what it cost you, though, to get here. You say, why are you bringing that up? It's going to cost us something. You're going to have to sacrifice. Miss Mary, if we're going to have revival here starting 2 weeks from tonight, somebody's going to have to sacrifice. It's going to cost you a little bit. It's going to cost you, Brother Chris, to get in an altar somewhere and start praying and yield unto God a little bit of your time and effort, Brother Tim, in the prayer closet of life and say, Lord, we need revival. We need a Holy Ghost stirring around there. Yeah, it's costing me an hour in the evening to pray that I don't have. And it's costing me an hour in the morning because I'm getting up an hour earlier to pray. Brother Danny, I ain't got that much time. But bless God, if that's what it cost me to have revival, I'm willing to pay the cost. You know why? Because when you do that, it shows your character. It shows your compassion. If you truly have a need, I'm talking about a need now. I'm not talking about Brother Reggie. Can I use you just a second? Do you not have sugar, diabetes? Do you not have to have insulin? You have to have that, do you not? I have seen you come in the evening and you look like you just weren't going to make it another step. He works with me. He works for me some. And I've seen you come in where maybe he just didn't get, you know what I'm talking about. You've got to have that. If you don't have that, then you guess what? It's going to hurt you. Do you realize that whenever these people that have these medical needs, Miss Ginger, cost is no object. Did you hear me? The cost is no object. She's got to have that. And because of that, he would sell something if that's what it took to get what he needed. Do you see what I'm saying? We ought to be willing to sell something, to sell out to sin, to sell out to self, to sell out to anything else, if that's what it costs to get revival. Lord, I'm willing to pay that price, because if it's, we'll spend considerable amounts of money on stuff we want. I'm not talking about your needs now, Reggie. I'm not talking about your needs now, Regina. I'm talking about your wants. That's the stuff you want. You know what it is? It's like that kayak I wanted. My goodness, I wanted that kayak so bad, Brother Tim. I surfed those marketplace pages for days and weeks and hours looking for the right kayak. Finally found it. I drove to Seagrove, North Carolina. You know where it's at? That's a long ways from here. And I bought that thing. Man, I wanted it. $650. I wanted it bad. The best I can figure, I've had two voyages that cost me $325 a piece. One into Yadkin and one at the lake. Now, you know what? I could have went up to Zulu's Canoes. I could have went up here and for $20 rented one for 4 hours and drove floated just as far, just as long. And I guess what? I'd have had $610 in my pocket if $20 a time would have done. That's 40, the best my math is. And guess what? I'd have been just as fine. But you know what, Miss Wanda? I wanted one. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm telling you, we'll spend considerable amounts of money on the things we want, regardless of the price that it costs us. Why? Because we want that. And bless God, Brother Chris, once we look at that ointment, that preciousness of spikenard, a precious, Brother Kenny, it's costly. Guess what? She broke the box. Why? Because her desire, her want to please unto the Lord and be pleasing in His sight and to anoint Him, and the pleasing of Him meant more to her than having that ointment in the box. Yeah. She wanted to please him more than she wanted to please herself. She, I don't care what it costs. I'm going to break this box. But we'll spend money on the things we need. We have to. But most of the money we spend is on stuff we want. Be honest with yourself. Have you ever bought anything you wanted? Have you ever had buyer's remorse? How many of you ever bought something and had buyer's remorse? Raise your hand. I know you have. I didn't need that, but there it is. I usually do it about 10 minutes after I bought a new car or something. Usually does it kick in sometimes when the payment book shows up. Then you're really like, but guess what? I wanted it. And because I wanted it, Brother Tim, guess what? I got it. And because I got it, now what? Now I got to pay the cost thereof. Miss Cindy likes it comfortable in the house. So we turned the air down. It's still stuffy in here. Turn the air down. Still stuffy in here. Jake comes over. So Jake said, y'all got a parka? I'm freezing to death. Ain't that the truth? Jake said, I got to go outside. It's cold in here. Poor old Jake, he comes over to visit, and he froze up solid. He looks like a block of ice, and he's going outside, and he's trying to warm up. Why? Because Miss Cindy keeps it cold in there. You said, what's that all about? That's all good. Tell Duke Power. Writes you a letter. But you know what? When she has that desire and that she wants to stay cool, you know, Brother Kenny, there's a cost. You know why? Because every time she does that, that little wheel outside, it's a little metal wheel inside this little glass globe, that thing starts doing this. Ours looks like a frisbee. It looks like a flying saucer. It's the price you pay if you're going to play. When's the last time that you bought something? When's the last time you pulled the trigger? When's the last time you got something, regardless of the cost, just because you wanted it? I bring you to this. Do you want revival? Do you want a move of the Holy Spirit? If you want it, then you're willing then to pay the cost to attain it. You say, what's it going to cost me? It's going to cost you a little time in the altar. It's going to cost you a little time in your prayer closet. It's going to cost you a little time in His Word. Going to cost you a little self-sacrifice. Why? Because the yard just might have to go that week. I sometimes get to mine. Sometimes I don't get to mine. And if it needs mowing, I'm going to try to mow it. But I'm not going to skip revival because my yard needs mowing. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to skip revival for these things that can earnestly wait. And they really can. Let's look on down through here just a little bit. There you go, Macy. Write that down. Macy said, that's one of my sayings. I didn't realize I just now said it. I said, y'all, everybody says, I always say, y'all all right. Macy said, "You always say, let's look on down through here a little bit." I didn't realize it just now. Let's look on down through here a little bit for Macy's sake. Verse number 4. We've moved from the character and the compassion of a woman named Mary. We looked at the cost of that precious box of ointment that she had. Now, I want you to look at the criticism coming out of this crowd. And there were some. And I want you to flip over to the book of John as well, because John lays this thing out very well. John chapter number 12. Flip over to John chapter 12. We'll read these two parallel scriptures together. Brian Ford, let me ask you a question. If we're going to be critiqued anyway, if we're going to be criticized anyway for our music, our worship, our preaching, you're too loud, you're too soft, you raise your voice, you're uneducated, you're ignorant, whatever you want to throw in there. If we're going to be critiqued anyway, shouldn't we just go ahead and do what God wants us to do? If we're going to be criticized anyway, you might as well just go ahead. Brother Kenny, you said one time, I was in Sunday school preaching up here, you said, "I'm beyond the point of caring what people think about me." Amen. Is that what you said? I believe you. That's a direct quote.
Yes, sir.
Brother Chris, have you not said, "I'm tired of people worrying about Chris. I'm going to let the world worry about, the Lord worry about Chris." Why? Because you can't answer to the world and everybody in it. Preacher, you can't answer to the world and everybody in it. Right. Neither can I answer to the 250 people of this church. I better please God and then let everything else work itself
Amen.
Out.
Amen.
So here we are. If we're going to have the indignant crowd, and we're going to have the critique, and we're going to have the cynicism and the criticism, and we're going to have all this, why don't we just go ahead and go with God? We're going to be talked about anyway.
Right.
We're going to be made fun of by some. We're going to be brought down by some. We're going to be looked at as better than thou. Some people said, "You go to that highfalutin church." I said, "Have you seen us? We're not highfalutin. We've got people in here right now, promise you, that probably don't, if you got a $100 indebtedness in emergency spend, you wouldn't be able to pay that $100. There's people that way. I'm just being honest with you. There's people here that live a very meager means. And I'm not throwing off on you. I'm just saying, anybody drives by here and thinks that we're a highfalutin church, need to come in. They just need to visit with us. Don't sit out and criticize us. But if we're going to be thrown off of anyway, why don't we just go ahead and just trust the Lord? Let our worship be unto God. Go ahead and use the King James Bible. Let our conservative music just lift the rafters off the place. Let your conservative dress go ahead and be conservative. Let our supportive missions go ahead and support mission. Let the things that we do go ahead and speak of Christ. And quit worrying about what people say. Mark chapter number 14 and verse number 4 said, "And there were some..." Let's just flip over to John now and look what it says. Verse number 4 of John chapter 12, verse number 4 of Mark 14. Mark 14 said, "And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made?" Who was it? Anybody know who it was? John's already told us. It was Judas. Now, is Judas really worried about the poor? Look what it says, chapter 14, verse 4, verse number 5. It said, "For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and been given to the poor." Brother Danny, if you just read Mark's account, it sounds to me like the indignant crowd, and I believe the Word of God, they may have had an idea. Hey, why don't we just sell that instead of breaking it, pouring it out over a man's head? Why don't we just sell it and then take that money and give it to the poor? That sounds pretty good, don't it, Tim? But look what John said about it. John said it was Judas and that he did not care about the poor, but he cared about himself because he was a thief. Read it for yourself. John chapter number 12 in verse number 4. The Bible said, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was this ointment sold for 300 pence, not sold for 300 pence, and given to the poor?" You said that backs up the other scripture. It does, Brother Kenny, perfectly. But I didn't read all the way, did I? Look what it says beyond that verse. Money could have been given to the poor. "This," he said, "not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief." Now, I didn't call him a thief. The Bible did. And if the Bible calls him a thief, Brother Preston, guess what? He was a thief. You know what a thief is in the Greek? He's a thief. You know what he is in the English? He's a thief. The Bible said, not that he cared for the poor, but he was a thief. And more than just being a thief, Brother Tim, he's the one that's holding the money. He's the one that's got the bag. He's the one, Brother Danny, when everybody would give their tithes and offerings, he's the one that was the treasurer for the 12. And because of that, he said, well, that money could have been, that ointment could have been sold for 300 penny worth. 300 pence, Brother Tim. I could have put that in my bag. We could have helped the poor people with that. But see, the Lord knew his heart. He said, yeah, you're going to help yourself, you thief. But we're always going to have criticism. We're always going to have that would be judgmental toward us. Critics don't really care what they do. They don't really care what they say. They don't care what they do with their money, but they care what you do with yours. They don't really care what they do with their time, but they care what you do with yours. Why in the world would a man get up and go to church? The only day off he's got in a week, he got one day off, and he's going to go down there and spend it at the house of God? He's going to get up. The only day he's got. Why in the world would you do that? Go down there and spend it at the Lord's house. I'm telling you what, they're a bunch of idiots to do that. See, they don't care about what they do with their time, but they worry about what you do with yours. That's your cynics. That's your critics. They don't just criticize us openly. They criticize you behind your back. They criticize you in every which way there is. And if you ain't very careful, they'll criticize you off the pew of your own church. Now, that's the sad part. Brother Kenny, you said one time you had one that you didn't know. You said it had the wool pulled over your eyes. He was one of those sheep and wolves in sheep's clothing. And I'm not so sure that we don't have one once in a while that'll lurk around here. They're full of cynicism and critical spirit about them, and God's not pleased with it, but I'm glad that greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. If we're going to be criticized, why don't we be criticized for the right thing? Just go ahead and do what God wants us to do. Bring us on down to the next one. I want you to look at this commendation, this complimentary Jesus. You said, is Jesus complimentary? Well, sure he is. Is Paul not complimentary many times? He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. What was he saying? He said, you've been about the works of the Lord, not that I desired to give, but blessed time and again you send into my necessity. He said, not that I desired that, but I might desire fruit that it might have been in your account. Paul was very complimentary. And right here we got a complimentary Jesus. He jumps right into the fray. He jumps right into that whenever Judas would make that statement about being sold. Jesus jumps right in here. Look what he says. Verse number six, instead, and Jesus said, you leave her alone. You let her alone. Why trouble you her? She wrought a good work on me. He said, for the poor you always have, for the poor with you always, and whensoever you will that you may do them good, but me you have not always. She done what she could. And I love that whenever he said, you leave her alone. Let her be. Let her alone. I love that scripture. That complimentary Jesus right there in one little statement exalts the works of Mary, shows Mary's heart, shows her true character, shows her compassion, and it also exposes them that was the indignant of heart. Said, you leave her alone. You let her be. I love whenever the Lord does something, Brother Kippy. It's so out of character. You don't know why. It's like a windfall. It's like one of those messages. You remember that message I preached one time? That had to be God. You remember that? You just look around, you say, man, that had to be God. It's one of those type moments. Miss Sam, just that had to be God. I love those. Why? It's because the Lord put somebody in a place, said, leave him alone. Leave her alone. Let it be. But what he's doing that, he's taking care of two things at one time. He's lifting up the works of this woman named Mary. He's putting them other ones in their place at the same time. And then we move from that right into something that we would call commemoration, decoration, testimonial, remembrance, memorial. Up at the old church where I used to pastor, every year they had a decoration service. You know what that was? They'd go out to the old cemeteries, and they'd remove all the old flowers, and they'd do whatever they want to do. Why would they do that? Because it's a memorial. They did it every year. They did it as a memorial to those graves to keep up the cemetery, to keep everything fresh and looking pretty. Jesus said, this woman, what she has done, Brother Chris, she's done it for a memorial. And he said, what she's done is going to be preached to the whole world. You know, Brother Kenny, here it is in 2019. We're still preaching about it. Still preaching about it. Now, if that lady had done anything different, would it have been canonized? Would it have even been put in the scriptures? Would it have even made a blip on the radar screen of a holy God? No, but see, it was put in the pages, Brother Chris, and what she did is still being preached. Why? Because it's a memorial. It's her testimony. Look what he says. He said, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. What's your memorial going to be? Roll out a casket right here.
I was told Brother Brian Cardwell did that. Y'all know Brian. I don't know if he did it. They said Brian knew somebody worked at the funeral home. They brought a casket in there. Y'all heard that story? Put a mirror in it. He had the whole church come by there and look in there. Brother Tim, when you walk, look over in there, what'd you see? You saw Tim Anderson laying in there. I was told Brian did that. I don't know that Brian did. I ain't never asked him. I was told that. Said that Brian brought a casket to church. Some of y'all know Brian texted him and asked him, Brian, you ever take a casket to church, put a mirror in it? If he did, so be it. If he didn't, maybe that's a good idea, Brother Chris. You got a casket? We'll get Whoopi to get us one. But when you look over in there, you know what that is, Brother Chris? That's a memorial unto yourself. What's that mirror saying? Boy, there lies Kippy. A life wasted. All about self. Nothing about God. That's not what his would say. They would say, there's Brother Kippy Hamby, an honorable man, a deacon, a faithful man. Let me called faithful. Let me be called faithful. Let me be called faithful. Don't call me missing in action. There lies Pastor Mark. Stood the test of time. Preached God's word 17 years and still trucking. There lies Kenny Anderson, pastor of church for 30 plus years, 35, 36 years. What's your commemoration? What's your memorial say? There's Chris, scallywag. There's Chris, everybody's friend. What's your memorial? BJ, what's your memorial? What's my memorial? What's the reaction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We very easily can see what his reaction was to Mary. He loved it. He honored it. He ate it up. He said, I love Mary. Chris, you leave her alone. He even told Martha, Martha, in that other passage I started out with, you're cumbered about, you're troubled over much, but look at Mary. Martha, you've been all about the business. Mary's been all about the Savior. Brother Chris, sometimes we can be so busy with stuff that we lose track of what's really important in life. So what's your friends and your acquaintances and everybody going to say about you? Let it be a devotion for Jesus. Let it be like Mary's was, just full of compassion for the Savior. Let it be for worship and even praise. Let your testimony be of uprightness and honesty. There's people around this community that have been known to beat everybody and their brother out of a dollar. That's what they're known for. There's churches in this community that all they're known for is fussing and fighting and feuding. Even at lunch, we got to eat lunch with my dad and my stepmom. She said, boy, I wish my sister could find a good church. She said she'd been going to that church her whole life. Do you remember what she said? She said, all they do is fuss and fight. She said, that's the only thing that church has done for 40 years that Judy's went there. Said, they just fuss and fight. She should never hear about anybody getting saved. What Carolyn was doing was bragging on y'all. She was back bragging on. She said, boy, you got a great church. We love coming up there. We feel something when we come up there. She was bragging on you. But you said, that what that is, that's a testimony of you. But she said, boy, I wish Judy could find one. Tim, how would you like to be known at a church that all we do is fuss and fight? That's what we're known for. Just a bunch of fighters and brawlers and fussing and fighting. Hey, church is right here in our community. Go through a pastor about every 120 days. About every year and a half, they're going to get a new one. Like it or not, they don't even put the name on the sign anymore. There's one down in our neck of the woods. They got the pastor's name. Where y'all got mine out there. Gary, thank you for making it so easy to change. And he told me that. They said, we put your name in there, preacher. And we've got it in them little letters. That way we can get rid of it real quick. There's preachers that do that. They put it on that little drop down. You know it down here at the signs out the road you had in there last week? It said week before where it said VBS last week. That's where the pastor's name's at. You know why it's on there, Miss Wanda? It's easily changed. That's sad. I was talking to my dad and Carolyn again over lunch. She was talking about Brother Feldman. I'd mentioned Brother Feldman. And has it dawned on this church or this multitude that for over 50 years of ministry, there's been two leaders, pastors? I know you had a brief intermission there with Brother John, but Brother Feldman was still in the mix. He was still in behind the scenes working. Brother Kenny, 50 years of ministry attributable to two pastors? That's unheard of. I thank God for it. You know what it is? It's a testimony to you. It's a memorial unto God of how you conduct yourself. Brother Scott, come get us a song tonight. That's a little feel-good radio message. Didn't cost you any extra, and I didn't even preach faster than I usually do. So tonight, I want you to ask yourself, are you willing to pay the cost for revival? Or are you just going to kind of pop the top and pour out a little bit and say, I'm good with that? Or are you just going to break the box and go all in? I wish.